All right, good morning, everybody. Let me clear my throat here. I'll do it once, apologize once, and the rest of the time's for free, okay? All right. It is good to see everybody, and I hope you had a Merry Christmas, and wishing you a Happy New Year as well. Can you believe this is the last Sunday of 2019? Kind of blows your mind if you think about it that way, but I'm glad we can spend it together this morning, and as my dad said, to be together with family. So we're going to go to Romans chapter 12 this morning, if you would. Romans chapter number 12. Check, check, check. You like where my microphone's at there, James? You like it? Up higher? Higher? All right. Whoops, that's my tie clip, not my microphone. I'm sorry. Doesn't help if I move that up. All right. Romans chapter 12, we'll look at least two, maybe three familiar verses that we find here in this passage. For a moment this morning, we'll ask you the question that's asked really in verses 1 and 2. Are you conformed or transformed? So that'll be our message this morning. Conformed or transformed from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Good to have preacher E.J. Brinson down here on the front row this morning. And I heard a rumor he'd be here today. Didn't know if he had to preach out or not. And he was teasing, saying he wanted to show up to see if there actually was a preacher in the Carter family. That's your words, not mine, right? Okay? I said he might listen to me today and have to still keep looking, you know? So I don't know. I'm just teasing. He's teasing my dad and teasing me a little bit. But good to have Pastor E.J. Brinson here with us today. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. We'll start reading here in a moment. Did you hear about the old couple? And what do I mean by old? I mean older than anybody here today, okay? An old couple. They were romantically sitting by the fireplace one evening. Must not have been in Florida. And the husband looked over at his wife, and he had a romantic thought. He said, "After 50 years, I've found you tried and true." That's kind of a nice thing to say. But the wife's hearing wasn't very good, so she said, "What?" And he repeated, "After 50 years, I've found you tried and true." "Well," she replied, "after 50 years, I'm tired of you too." So, how many of you have witnessed that conversation before? Okay, seen that exchange right before your very eyes? All right. Romans chapter 12, let's talk about what the Bible says here this morning for the next few moments together. Keeping in mind that we're kicking off a brand new year here soon, can't believe we'll be soon into 2020, but the Bible has good advice for us, whether we're finishing a year or starting a year. So let's go to the scripture this morning. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, the Bible says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren," this is written to save people that lived in Rome at the time, "by the mercies of God," that's the basis why Paul is beseeching these Christians, "on the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies," I believe that's the physical body there, "a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." I believe Paul is encouraging Christians to live like Christians. Amen? Is that the general way to say it? I think that Alicia's song, which she did a fantastic job on this morning, is very fitting for this passage of Scripture this morning. Let's keep going. Verse number 2. For you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, that includes verse 2, "and be not conformed to this world, but," we could say instead, "be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Verse 3. "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." For the next few moments together this morning, let's consider what the passage gives us to consider, and that's whether we are conformed to this world or whether we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. Let's do that together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we're blessed to spend together today. Thank you for family and church family. Thank you for friends and all the loved ones. Lord, I just pray that for the next few moments, you'll help us to have our hearts and minds clear. And Lord, that we could receive your truth, your word this morning. Thank you for the precious word of God. Thank you for the precious spirit of God. We pray the word as it's preached today will go forward and have free course, that you'll allow it to have its intended effect upon each and every one of us. We know it works effectually in our lives, Lord. Draw us close to yourself today. We lift up Jesus at this time. We thank you that not only is he the reason for the Christmas season, but for every season. So we look to the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross of Calvary. Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you personally, and what I mean is they have not accepted the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior, we do pray for them right now. We pray for their salvation. Even today, we trust you for that. We trust your will to be done, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The question, conformed or transformed? Now, I think just trying to stay with the text and the context this morning, that we can let it explain itself. Generally speaking, I believe it's a proper application to say God is concerned with how a saved person lives his life down here on planet Earth. Wouldn't you say that's correct? That's something to think about as we enter into a new year. A new year is an opportunity to make good decisions, right? I guess I go through this process with myself every year, so it comes out in my preaching every year. But I'd like to leave behind stuff in 2019 that doesn't need to go forward in 2020. Amen. And I get a choice. God treats me like an adult. He does. He treats me like a grown-up in his family. He does. If you read the Bible, and I talked about it last week, how God esteems us in Christ Jesus. We have this wonderful position, but we get to make decisions that help our condition in this earthly life. So I want to leave behind the bad in 2019. I want to bring forward the positive in 2020. I want to be closer to the Scripture. I want right doctrine to be on display as I live my life. I've never accomplished that yet, but I'm asking the Lord to help me with that coming forward. Amen. I think that's a good thought for us. That's a good attitude maybe to approach the new year with. Well, verse number one, he's beseeching. That's urging. That's encouraging. That's asking. That's really trying to persuade somebody to do the right thing because God has done the right thing. He's given us his mercies. By the mercies of God, he saved us. He's forgiven us. Christ accomplished what I could not accomplish and what you cannot accomplish. You cannot make up for the sin in your life. You cannot make up for the sin that's stuck to your soul. You have to come to Lord Jesus Christ, the only one that provides forgiveness, salvation, and reconciliation. You have to come to him. That's the only way. He's the only way. We know he's the truth, and we know the only way to everlasting life is through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is very clear about that. Well, he's beseeching us based upon the mercies of God. What? That we present every day. You get to present yourself before the Lord as you present yourself before other people around you. It's a presentation day. One day you're going to have a presentation day that's not here. It's going to be up there. The Bible talks about it in Colossians chapter 1. We'll call it the judgment seat of Christ because of what it's called in other places. But that's a presentation day where we stand before the one that loved us and died for us, was buried and rose again the third day, ascended up on high, and is seated in heavenly places right now as the head of the body of Christ. The church that if you're saved, you're a member of that today. You'll stand before him one day. And if you want to have a good day that day, have a good day today. Have a good day tomorrow. Have a good 2020. You catch my drift? So I beseech you, based upon the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, I'll just say it this way. If I follow my body and what it wants to do in 2020, I'll walk after the flesh and not after the Spirit. So presenting my body a living sacrifice before God means I'm not going to walk after my flesh, but I'm going to walk after the Spirit instead. I'm going to reckon this flesh dead. And I'm going to reckon myself alive unto the Lord by living in the Spirit of God. How do you do that? Follow the Word of God. Follow the right doctrine of the Word of God. So that's what he's saying in verse number one. This is holy. This is acceptable unto God. It's reasonable. It's not unreasonable. Verse two, another way that we can present our bodies a living sacrifice is to be not conformed to this world. So I believe we're conformed to this world when we walk after the flesh and do not present our bodies a living sacrifice. Ignore the Spirit of God, ignore the Word of God, and do what the flesh wants to do. Do what the world wants to do. We could say it that way, like the song a moment ago. Verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world. If you're conformed to this world, when you do not present your body a living sacrifice, in verse number 1. Verse number 3, when you think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Do we live in a society today that thinks too much of themselves? That's my question. Just throwing it out there. You can answer that if you want. Well, I'll go ahead and answer. Yes, I believe we do. Everybody thinks real highly of themselves today. Back in the old days, people seemed to be a little more level-headed and down to earth. Right? But people today think of themselves more highly than they ought to think. You see it everywhere. You see it with those we disagree with, and you see it with those we agree with. They think too highly of themselves. And the Bible says not to do that, but to think soberly. Understanding it's God that had to deal out this measure of faith. I have nothing on my own. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. The only good thing about me is this treasure inside this earthen vessel. Amen? And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Christ in me, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit's moved in, and that's Jesus Christ living inside this physical body, this earthly temple. So we're not to be conformed, but we are what? To be transformed. So two choices. Conformed. Transform. No one likes to be different. Everybody wants to fit in. You know what that's called? Conformity. You want to be different today? Because some people want to be different, but they want to be different in the wrong kind of way. But if you want to be different today, follow this book right here. This book right here. Follow what this book says to do. Follow the doctrine that this book tells you to follow. Live like it says to live. Think like it says to think. Talk like it says to talk. Make decisions based upon what the book says for you to do. I promise you, it'll scratch that itch of being different. It'll fulfill that. It'll fill it in full. You'll be mission accomplished because so few people really live after this book today. See, the world, the flesh, and the devil are out to conform us, are they not? Isn't it 1 John 2? Verse 15, where John the Revelator describes the world system that we presently abide in and will be that way in the ages to come, to the tribulation period and so on and so forth. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, this is not isolation. I know that's what everybody thinks. Oh, we can't be a part of the world. Try that in 2020. You're going to have to be a part of the world. It affects every moment of your life. No. True separation is not isolation, it's contact without contamination. Don't ask me to say it again. No, I can say it again if you want me to. But it's not about saying being isolationist. It's about you have to deal with the world every day, every waking moment. But you can do it without it influencing your decisions, every decision you make, without it bossing you around, without it conforming you to what it says is right. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father. So that means, but it is of the world. And why would you want to tie yourself to the world when it's going to pass away? And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. You want to have a life right here that lasts forever and has an impact on eternity? Follow this book right here. Be transformed. Don't be conformed. By the way, how are we transformed according to verse number 2? Can we go back and look at that before we go forward this morning? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. I'll give you 3 guesses how that happens, and the first 2 don't count. It's the Word of God. You hear what you hear, you see what you see, you feel what you feel, you taste what you taste every day of your life. You got to get in the Word of God to help balance it out. The Word of God's going to help us. It's going to renew our minds. Someone said it like this. In fact, it was a preacher friend of mine. He said, the most important things for a believer to know today is, number 1, know what God is doing today. And then a close second is know what the devil is doing today. The devil would have us think that what he's doing is of God. He wants to trick us. There's some terms in the Bible. I won't go into it this morning, but I'll just throw it out here real quick. There's the mystery of godliness. That's what God is doing. It's definitely a mystery to the world. Yes. Not supposed to be a mystery to God's people, by the way, but unfortunately it is too often. But the mystery of godliness is a mystery to the world. And then there's the mystery of iniquity that doth already work. 2 Thessalonians 2. And the devil does what he does in a way that he wants you to think it's God that's doing it. So I'll say it this way. If you want to see what the flesh is doing today, what is it, December 9th, 2019. If you want to see what the flesh is doing today, all we got to do is watch television. All we got to do is watch movies. Right? Is the flesh on display? All right, it is whether you say amen or not. Watch YouTube and social media. The flesh is on display. Right? Everybody has this great big dose of I need attention. I don't know what it is. But thank the Lord they have all these means to do it, to get all this attention. So if you want to see the flesh on display today, you can easily see it. It's everywhere. If you want to see what the devil is doing today, watch, pay attention to denominational religion. Right? And politics. You can get a good dose over there too. But if you want to see what the Creator is doing today, then you've got to get in your Bible. You need to do what 2 Timothy 2:15 says. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know what God is doing today. You can also see what God did in Old Testament times. You can see what God's going to do after the rapture of the body of Christ, after the church is out of here. You can see all those things. It's awesome. And it's what God is doing today. You can understand what God is doing, His purpose, His will, His plan. All these things are there. It's your choice what you tune into. Right? It was my choice last night, or our choice last night, to watch Clemson beat Ohio State. Amen. Blessed my heart. Amen. I knew it was going to be a great Sunday because of a great late Saturday night, right? All right, sorry about that, but I always like to see Ohio State lose. You know, I mean, I just had to throw that in there. It has nothing to do with my message or anything this morning. But I got to tune in to what I wanted to tune into last night. Right? But I could have tuned into something else. So you get to tune in when it comes to life to what you want to tune in to. You get treated like an adult. You get to hold the remote control. You know, hasn't that always been a dream of yours? To hold the remote control. You get to make those decisions. You get to make those choices. So let me briefly go back and revisit the three things I just told you. The flesh, what it's doing today. The devil, what he's doing today. Briefly, like I said, just an overview. And then the Creator, God Almighty, the true God, the God of the Bible, what he is doing today. Let's start with the flesh. Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21 tells about the flesh. Verse 19 says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest." That means you can see them on display. "Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." The works of the flesh, they're made manifest. We see them. Now it's normal. It didn't used to be normal. It used to be the things which were done in secret weren't supposed to be showed openly. They weren't supposed to be done at all. But if they were done, they weren't supposed to be put on public display. But now that's what it is today. Now it's celebrated. Now it's pumped up and piped out. You know, that's what it is. It's who you are and what you are and all these things. That's the flesh on display. The Bible says that for a saved person, you're not a part of what God is doing when you participate in that. So a saved person can choose to walk after his flesh and live and let his flesh be the boss and do and participate in those things or some of those things that we just read a moment ago, but that's not what God is doing right now on planet Earth. That's not what he saved you to do. That's not how he wants you to live. That's the flesh today, and it's on display. What about the devil today? It's the mystery of iniquity. It's 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. It talks about what the devil has and how he operates today. For such are false apostles. Anybody that claims to be apostle today is false, right? And what's the requirement for an apostle? According to the Bible, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 8, 1. Might be 9, 1, but it's right there around there. You can read them both. And it's, you have to see the resurrected Lord. None of those have. Dreams don't count. You understand? Don't count anymore. We have the complete Word of God. You can't have a dream and you can't trump out the Word of God. You can't. Dreams don't count. We all have dreams and they're all pretty much ridiculous, if you want to tell the truth, right? Okay? And they're not brought on by divine intervention. It's most of the time by digestive. Never mind. So let's keep going. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13, for such are false apostles. There's not such a thing today, but they claim it. Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Is the devil an angel of light? No, he likes to present himself as an angel of light. What is he? Well, if we wanted to see him all cut down without all his smoke screens in the way, he's an ugly red dragon. That's what he is. That's what he is in the last book of the Bible. That's what he is right now. But he's not going to present himself to the world and to mankind that way. He's going to present himself as a supreme being, as beautiful, as an angel of light. Guess what that is? That's deception. That's the mystery of iniquity that doth already work. Satan uses counterfeits to blind people today. He blinds them to the gospel. We looked at 2 Corinthians 4 last Wednesday night. He uses false gospels. There's false gospels being preached right now in other places. Right now, in other places, in this time zone, they'll be preached all Sunday. They'll be preached all the time. False gospels. They're not true. They're not what the Word of God says, but religion preaches them. He has false preachers. They preach a false gospel. He has the corrupted Word of God. Let's just say it this way. He takes the Word of God and corrupts it. He's deceptive in that way. He has corrupt churches. He has a whole organized system. And I'm not talking about a Satan church out in California. I'm talking about organized Christianity. That is how he works today. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. What's the devil doing today? It's in religion. It's in politics. It's everywhere, everything that affects your life. That's where his hoofprints are at, like I said last week. That's what the devil is doing. He is a deceiver. He is a counterfeit. I've said this before, but if you want a good type of the devil, think about the moon. Okay? In Genesis chapter 1, we're told that God made a greater light to rule the day and a lesser light to rule the night. Let me tell you about the lesser light. His name's Lucifer. He kind of lost that name because he's in his fallen state now, but he was a light bearer. He had to do with the glory of God and his exalted position where God created it and placed him, but he lost that. He's the lesser light. Now he's a deceptive light. You realize the moon doesn't have any light of itself, right? It doesn't produce, it doesn't generate light. What does it do? It reflects the light of the sun. All Satan has is the glory he was created with, and he's corrupted it. It's a false light. He's a deceptive light. We could talk about the moon and how it has a great effect upon planet Earth, whether we're talking about the tides, whether we're talking about maybe weather, maybe we're talking about planting and farming and all those things, or people howling at the moon at a certain time. Whatever we're they're lunatics, right? Lunatics. That's what they are. They're howling at the moon. The moon has an effect on this world down here, is my point. There's a lot of truth there when you look at that. The devil's on full display. But at the same time, he's on F-O-O-L display. He's a fool for opposing God. So let's talk about what's important. That's what the Creator is doing today. We can see the flesh today. It's on display. The devil, he doesn't show his true colors. He doesn't let you see him behind closed doors. He just manages what he presents to you. But he's a deceptive devil that's out to corrupt. But the Creator is also working today. Thank God that we have a church today we can come to and open the Word of God and preach the truth of God. Amen? Thank the Lord we still have that opportunity and freedom in our country. The Creator today the mystery of godliness, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. See, God has given us His truth. God has given us His Word. Oh, we have the truth from Old Testament times, but do you realize today we live in the age of grace? We're part of the church. Do you realize God gave us His information as well, just like He did to His people in Old Testament times? You realize that? He's given us something that will renew our minds. He's given us this New Testament. He's given us the Apostle Paul. He's given us the doctrines of grace. As I stand before you this morning, I'm not telling you, oh, you missed church. It was yesterday on Saturday. You missed the Sabbath. I didn't say that today because we don't observe the Sabbath. You understand that, right? We're not Israel in the Old Testament trying to keep the Old Testament law. Jesus Christ came and kept it for us. So now we meet on the day that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and we celebrate the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we preach His truth. Do you realize after He ascended up to heaven, which He did 40 days after He rose from the dead, do you realize there in the book of Acts, we read how He appeared to Paul, and He gave Paul information. Do you realize we read that He gave Paul information several times, and Paul, instead of having us continue like we're Israel in the Old Testament, He gave us information how we are supposed to be today in the age of grace. Now, there's lots that are similar, but there's things that are different as well. What a blessing it is we can read verses and understand what they mean. 1 Corinthians 14:37, as Paul writes to these saved people in Corinth, he says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, that means led by the Spirit, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. You understand you can get the commandments of the Lord today not by going back to Exodus 20. We use that. We understand that. We apply that. But if we're looking for specific details today, we go to the commandments of the Lord that Jesus told Paul from heaven. That's the doctrine that will renew our minds. That'll help us from being caught up in or deceived by the mystery of iniquity. Because the devil doesn't care if you read your Bible. Yeah, I said it. The devil doesn't care. The devil doesn't even care if you go to church. The devil does care if you study to show yourself approved unto God. The devil does care if you take the truth of God's Word and apply it to your lives. The devil does care if you present your body a living sacrifice. He cares if you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. 2 Timothy 2:7, Paul tells Timothy, he says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. I'm just here today as a messenger boy to tell you to remember to consider what Paul the Apostle says. Because God gave him to us so that our minds can be renewed and we can be in right doctrine, sound doctrine today. 1 Timothy 4:13, he says, till I come, he says, give attendance to reading. If you're going to give attendance to something, you're going to attend it, right? You're gonna check on it often. You're gonna look into it. You're gonna spend some time with it. You're gonna give it some consideration. He says, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. See, today we learn that it's God's will for all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. But Satan is working to blind the lost to the gospel, and he's looking to blind the saved to the truth of who they are in Jesus Christ. Now, last Sunday morning, I tried to preach to you about the truth of justification of faith and how God sees you, how He officially esteems you in Christ Jesus, who you are, you're standing before Him. I tried to give that truth because that helps us as Christians understand who we are in Jesus Christ instead of the devil having opportunity to think we're constantly at odds and at war with God, that we're having to reprove ourselves to God and earn His favor because for some reason He didn't like me in 2019. Just beat the tar out of me in 2019. That's not what the Bible tells us. You're not at war with God. It's grace and peace unto you from God the Father and from His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not at war with you. He's not angry with you. He's not in a bad mood when your subject comes up. He's not upset with you at all. You're justified. All that's missing, right, Dr. Lee, is Pete Pitt standing here and singing he's justified, right? All right. I used to lay here in this, wherever I was sitting, close to my mom because I was too misbehaved to sit too far from her. But anyway, when I was a little kid, he'd sing that song. I swear, I'd look up and the big ball light bulbs were shaking when he'd hit those high notes. I swear that happened. But maybe that was just through the mind of a little kid. But you should realize God's will for us is to be saved. But it doesn't stop there. It says, come unto the knowledge of the truth. When you get saved, it's not the end. It's not the culmination. No, it's the happy beginning. More good stuff to come. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today is the day to say no to the mystery of iniquity. Today is the day to turn from whatever's keeping you from trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You realize when he hung on that cross between heaven and earth and his body was broken and his blood was shed, it was to wash away all your sins, to make you holy, acceptable unto God, worthy, eternally worthy, deemed worthy of everlasting life, everlasting favor. All the good stuff, the riches of his mercy, his loving kindness, all those things that we can talk about. When Jesus Christ died, he died for you. All you have to do is accept him today. Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It was either the end of 2018 or the beginning of 2019, I read this story about this, I believe it was called the ermine or the ermine moth. Basically, it was some flying insect that scientists were trying to come up with a solution, trying to come up with a way to keep these harmful insects off of big commercial crops like farming is today. And so instead of using all the pesticides and all the things that, a lot of things that are outlawed and stuff today and have bad effects or side effects, they came up in a lab, they tried to take these pheromones by which certain times a year the female moth and the male moth would communicate. They tried to manufacture an artificial pheromone, knowing that if they could get these male of the species to like these pheromones more than the ones that the females were giving off, that they would have a solution to their overpopulation problem and these harmful insects harming these expensive crops in operation. So that's what they did. They went to work. I don't know how many times it took. I don't know if it happened the first time or if it was the 40th time, but they put out these artificial pheromones, and boy, the male moths loved them. It had its intended desired effect, and they were attracted to these pheromones. Well, the time came. In West Virginia, we'd call it the rut, right? Okay? The rut for moths. Anyway, I think that's funny, but anyway. The romance time came, that time of year. And those females did what they always did. They strutted their stuff. They put off their natural pheromones. But nobody paid any attention. No, those male moths had been sold a bill of goods. They had been given something artificial, and they let it take the place of what was right and natural and true. And the whole population where they were dealing with, it went away. Without one can of Raid, it went away. Now, there's a great lesson for us in the insect kingdom there. Do you realize that the devil's like that mad scientist in the laboratory coming up with something artificial to where he can draw you away from what's right and what's true? If you're here today and you think you got to be good enough and do enough good works, and then God's going to accept you one day and say, come on in, you earned your way into heaven. Just step aside, Jesus. You didn't have to work for this one. They did it on their own. If you think that's going to happen, then you've been sold a bill of goods. You're chasing a false pheromone. A religious pheromone. If you think you got to get dipped in water, whether the preacher says baptized or baptized, If you think that's got to happen, or there's got to be some ceremony, you got to receive communion, some bread and some juice or wine. If you think those religious acts and ceremonies are what make you square and right with God and forgiven and acceptable in His sight, if you believe any of that, can I tell you this morning, can I ask you, can I beseech you, if I'm going to use biblical words, to walk away from that, to turn away from that, and to trust Jesus Christ and Himself alone? No, don't be drawn away by the artificial. Don't be stolen away by the deception and the mystery of iniquity that doth already work. No, it's God's will for all men to be saved. If you're here and you're not saved today, you're going to have an opportunity to get saved before the service is over today. Wouldn't that be awesome? To face 2020 with the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Amen. Sealed until the day of redemption. That's the day when the churches assembled together in Christ Jesus in the rapture are gathering together unto Him, His glorious appearing for us. Wouldn't that be awesome? If you're here today and you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Timothy 2:4 tells you to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Don't stop. Thank God you're forgiven. Thank God you're saved. Thank God the Spirit dwells inside of you. Thank God that he that's joined to the Lord is one Spirit. All those great things. But now you got to let your mind be renewed. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Let right doctrine have its intended effect upon you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Thanks for listening to me this morning. We're going to have a time of invitation. I'm going to pray here in just a moment before I turn the invitation over to Pastor Carter. But I will ask these questions. Tried to preach the gospel this morning, and the gospel, you can find it in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, and that was how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, and how that He was buried and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. It was Christ's work, not your work or your religious activity, that makes you acceptable or accepted in God's sight. Have you accepted Jesus Christ for yourself today? Have you believed on the Lord? Do you know Him today? Let me ask that question. How many can say, yes, I do. On this last Sunday of 2019, I'm thankful by God's grace I can raise my hand and say, I know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Thank you for raising your hands. Appreciate that. You can put them back down. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, can I ask another question? The other side of this question, I think you know where I'm going. And where I'm coming from, is there anybody here today that would raise their hand and ask for prayer because you're not sure that you're saved? You heard the Word of God this morning. You know how important it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ for yourself as an individual, to accept Him. But you'd like to ask prayer at this time because you're not sure that you're saved. Anybody like that? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, but would you raise your hand so I can pray for you this morning? Of course, I wouldn't come to you or point you out or embarrass you in any way, but I promise you I'll pray for you. Because I don't know your eternal condition, but you do, and God does. Anybody like that this morning, please pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Well, for all those that raised their hand a moment ago that you are saved, thank God for that. Let's try to follow the Word of God today in two different places. Romans 12:2. Let's let ourselves, our lives, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Let's come unto the knowledge of the truth, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4. Let's keep going forward for the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time together in Your Word. Thank You most of all for the salvation, forgiveness of sin, eternal life that we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You again that we can celebrate this time of year and all times of the year how He came for us. And He was born so that He could die for us and provide our salvation. So we lift Him up again today. We thank You for the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, may we continue in the faith. May we learn more. May it have an effect every day on our lives so that we can affect those around us and affect eternity. Thank You, Father, for this time. We ask Your blessing on this invitation as we continue and conclude our service this morning. Lord, we give this time to You. We commit it to Your will to be done. And we give this time to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, please, as we turn things back over to Pastor Carter.
This morning we open the invitation to you to come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Preacher, preach, don't be conformed to the world. The world's always trying to get you to go their way. Conform with us. Look like us. Talk like us. Do what we do. Conformed. You can break that. You can have your mind renewed, your soul renewed. Would you come receive the Lord this morning? First Sunday. Basically of the new year. Very close. Did you vow last year you'd get saved, but you didn't? You heard the truth this morning. You make a choice. You'd be deceived by the world's mad scientist that gives you something artificial, a fake. You can trust a fake. It can be a religious fake. Educational fake, some friend you thought turns out to give you that is false. Jesus said that he was the way, the truth, and the life. No falsehood in him, no error in him, no deception in him. I'm going to ask Brother Bert to lead us in a verse of song, and I'm going to stand here, and there's some other folks down front here. If you'd like to come to the altar, we'll pray with you. We'll show you how you can be saved and know it, and have the peace of knowing how your journey is going to end, how it's going to turn out good instead of bad. And a great part of that blessing is you can realize that the past is not going to be required of you. You're not going to have to answer for it. Jesus answered for it. Paid off your past sins. That's what he does for you. Would you come receive him this morning as we sing?
Just as I am without.
My body, would you leave that pew and come forward? Young person, mom, dad.
Was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Could be you've been visiting Landmark most of this last year. You know what we stand for, what we believe, what we preach. I believe you ought to be a part of God's local church down here. Has the Lord impressed you, you ought to move a membership, or you ought to join a good Bible-believing church. And the church does represent the Lord. He says he loved it, gave himself for it. He paid the price for it. Are you a member of a local church? If you're born again, yes, you can be a member of the heavenly church, the church of the firstborn, according to the book of Hebrews. That's great. That's the sweet by and by. What are you doing now in the nasty now and now? Here's a place you can serve God. Here's a place that represents him, stands for him, stands for right and against wrong. Are you a part of a church down here? What excuse are you going to have? Lord, I couldn't find one. Who are you kidding? You're not kidding God. How about it? One more verse, Brother Bert.
Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I call.
preacher referred to it a little bit this morning. God didn't probably beat you up in 2019. You may blame a lot of stuff on him. If you look real close, it might have not been him. It might have been you. Question is, in the sermon this morning, are you conformed or transformed? Something happened to me a number of years ago when I heard the gospel and received the Lord Jesus Christ. I got transformed.
Amen.
I got born again, become a new creature in Christ. Somebody said, well, old things passed away. Old things been passing away on me now for so many years, about 100 years, whenever it was I got saved, long time. And the truth is he keeps on showing me this, that, and the other to quit, and this and that and the other I ought to do. He will renew your mind. He will show you new stuff. He will give you a chance. Hope you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Really pray that you do. You might have received some great gifts at Christmas, but the greatest gift of all is to know the Lord Jesus Christ and the gift of eternal life. Amen. All right, we're going to be dismissed in prayer. We invite you back tonight at 7. And yes, you can come Tuesday night at 7:30. And somebody said, church again? Well, heaven's going to be a lot like church. Might ought to practice up for it. Amen. Brother Condon, come on, dismiss us, please.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this place this morning to be able to come and hear preaching, Father. Thank you for the preaching of your word and the truth of it this morning. Thank you for the help this morning. Thank you most of all for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who brings the victory. And for somebody here that does not know for sure that heaven is their home, they've been saved, Lord. May they not leave until they get that settled. Thank you again, Father, for this time this morning, and thank you for the singing and all, and thank you for what we've heard now. Help us to take it beyond the doors and keep applying it to our hearts, and help us share with others what you've done for us. Look forward now to the service tonight. Bring us back safely. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.